Fabiano and his family. They are separated at this time whilst he is here. We pray that this will be a time of being able to meet with each other, that we are able to reflect on your word, that we're able to see the importance of mission. And we do ask you to bless Fabiano and his family and the work that he and they are doing. We praise you and we look forward to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Very good to be here with you this morning. We were here yesterday and a lot of things we did. We talked and we saw. And I do believe that my accent to you is going to be a tough. And I hope that you can understand everything. If you don't understand, put your hands up. And Matt, we're going to translate to you in English. All right. You know, my name is Fabiano. I'm Brazilian. Came from Brazil to Africa in 2004. And three years ago, 2018, we decided to move to New Zealand. And we are pastoring the church in Taranaki, New Plymouth Community Church, and have been a blessing to pastoring that church and being with the elders and with those brothers and sisters. Today, I want to show you a little bit more about the work in Africa that we did the time that we were there. And actually, I would like to challenge your heart, like I said yesterday to the few people that we had here yesterday, in terms of what we have to offer. Sometimes, when we're thinking about mission, we're thinking about what we can do, how we can do, and where we can go. And sometimes when we are thinking about mission as well, we are thinking that we have nothing to offer. And Jesus did the things in the way that he did was so simple. And we need to understand that mission, it's simple as well. For someone, mission is complicated. We know that. And I want to challenge you and show you that mission is simple, that we have something to offer. And one of the verses that I was since when I was called by God to go to Africa was Psalm 115, and I want you to open your Bible, Psalm 115. As you open your Bible, this is our family, Patricia, my wife, Sarah, and Nathan. Sarah is 14 years old, Nathan is 9. That's a beautiful family that we have got, and God is blessing us tremendous. Let's go. Psalm 115, the first verse. This verse was all the time in my mind when I was thinking to serve the Lord. And it is saying like this: not to us, not to us, but to your name be what? Can you repeat it? Be what? The glory. Because of your love and your faithfulness. Not to us, but to him be the glory. Because, what's the reason? Because of his love and because of his faithfulness. And this is what we're going to see here, something. We're going to see something that is just because of his love and just because of his faithfulness that we do what we do. Isn't it? Are you here today? It's because of his love. It's because of his faithfulness. And the glory that you're going to give is not to worship team, is not to the elders, is not to the brothers and sisters close to me, but the glory is to him forever and ever. And when we moved to Botswana in 2004, we were thinking, what were you going to do in Botswana? What were you going to serve? What we are going to offer to the Lord, what we have in our hands to offer to the Lord. So we were at that time a very, very young couple going to Botswana to do things that we didn't believe and think that was supposed and possible for us to do. Botswana, if you know, Botswana is in the south of Africa continent, and we are here in the middle of the desert of Kalahari. And these dots here are the villages in Botswana, and that is the location. When we arrived in Botswana, we think that we came here to do something, but before that, Botswana is a population of 2 million people, 38 languages and dialects. Official language is Setswana in English, and it's a religious syncretism. Do you know what is religious syncretism? No? It is that they have freedom about religions in the country, but they believe in so many other things, not only in the religion. They are traditional people believing in God everywhere. God is in the tree, God is in the goods, God is in the life of the people, and God is everywhere. And I remember when I arrived there, in one of the meetings with the pastors and leaders of Botswana, one of the pastors was saying like this: here in Botswana, you need to be careful because we are thinking that we are dealing with pastors, but we are dealing with witchcraft. We are dealing with traditional doctors, and this is happening there as well. And this is religious syncretism. We are thinking that we are in a church, but we are in a church that they are doing things completely different of us. Majority of the churches, they do not have leadership that side in Botswana. Leaders in Botswana. Leadership is very difficult to find in the churches in Botswana. Let's move here. So we were there, and we planted seven churches. Here is only five, and after that we planted the last one. And before to leave the country, we planted the seventh one. We planted a church in Kanyis, 650 kilometers in the middle of the desert. Hansi, also Kanyi here in the south. Hansi in the middle of the desert, 1,000 kilometers away. The church in Sabina is wrong here, the spelling. You can help me later, okay? 50 kilometers. And church in Letakane, 230 kilometers. Church in Red Sally, 240 kilometers. And the church where we were living in our home village in Botswana, we planted that last church there. So we used so simple tools to help and to plant the church and to work with the people. Probably you already know about the move, the Jesus move. This is one of the moves that we used. We had so many, and we'll go with a tent and put a tent up and set up the place. And the people will come to watch the Jesus move. And also we have the move in so many languages, depend of the place and the village and the language. We're gonna show Jesus in their language. And that was a very good tool for us to preach the gospel and start new churches. Also, we started to do computer lectures. Do you know computer? Yes or no? Put your hands up like this. What do we have in your hands to offer to Jesus? So I was doing a science computer and also analyst system and software development in Brazil. And when I arrived in Botswana, I said, what can I do here? And some people, when they see this picture, they say, Pastor, do we have electricity in the middle of the bush? No, we didn't have electricity. Use the generator. Here we are, and what we are offer? We are offer a computer lectures because they can use what they know about. Do you know how to switch on the computer? Yes or no? That's very simple thing that we were teaching them. Switch the computer on, set up the computer, go to Windows, Word, Microsoft, Excel. How do you use this kind of things? Because if they go to the city, they want to have something to say, I know how to do. And this is going to help to them to be in the church and also to bring some income to the church in terms of tithe and offerings. And this is what we were doing there. Do you know electricity? Yes or no? If you put your finger there, you know what is electricity, right? And what we were doing there, we were teaching them about electricity, how to plug these kind of things, how to do the measurement, how to set up these kind of things. Pastor, why you are doing these kind of things there in Botswana? Because the Indians and the Chinese, they are everywhere in Botswana. And what is happening here, there is they are business people. And they are employing these Africans to work with them. When they arrive there and they say, I know a little bit about electricity, then you're going to get some possibility to get a job. This is what we are trying to do and planting their heart. So we are giving electricity courses. So do you know handcraft? Who knows handcraft here? Put your hands up. Let me see. What do you have to, in your hands to offer to God? And this is handcraft. And the majority of the women in the church and in the villages, they don't know how to get some income. And we are helping them to make handcraft baskets. And what they are doing, when they finish it, they go and start to sell it in the village, in the community, and they start to receive some income. And at the same time, they start to help the church. Is it good? Is it wonderful? Let's go. Let's move. Children's evangelism. So we had probably 300 children together in a place that we are just helping them to understand the gospel throughout those five colors. Have you seen the colored book? Each color means one thing, and these children, they are receiving at the end of the day one bracelet with the colors, and they are able to teach the parents or the family about each color of that one. And the last day, we invite them to come and tell us the testimony about the colors that they learned. And they are saying, wow, I want to accept Jesus in my heart because I learned that the first color, the white one, the blue one, the green one, the red is his body, and the black is the sin, and I need him in my heart to go to heaven. And these children are leaving this place, and we are saying, one, two, three, go. And they are leaving the places, and they are going to the village, to their places, and they are telling their history to their parents, what they learned there. Just with a simple history of the gospel through the colors. And probably you know this as well, oral hygiene. And we are teaching them how to do that because our body, the Bible is saying, is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And they need to understand this clearly and very simple way. We are teaching them about these kind of things as well. Botswana is a country that the majority of the youth and teenagers of the country, they are HIV positive. And what is happening here in the school, we have probably 500 students listening about Operation HIV. How you need to behave yourself, how you need to behave in terms of sexual relationship, what about your life in the future, and these kind of things. We are there in the schools teaching about the gospel. Is it amazing? Let's move here. So we start and we arrived in this village, Radzili, 240 kilometers away from our home. And when we arrived in Radzili, we came with the plans, planting churches, revival Christians, training local leaders, opportunity to Bible translation, and building churches, schools, and soccer school. When we arrived there, we saw what we saw. What you saw, Fabiano? We saw this church. Just a building 2 by 3 meters, and 3 people there. And 1 child, 6, 7 years, and 1 teenager, and 1 old lady, 7, 8 years old, her name was Amadila. And when we arrived there, we said, probably we came in the wrong place. And we started to training, we started to teach them the Bible, and the question was, we don't speak fluently the language. How are you going to preach the gospel to these people? And this lady, 7, 8 years old, Hamadila, she was there, and she said, I can help you to translate to our language, to Setswana. And in my mind, Brazilian mind, traditional pastor, we thought that we cannot use this lady because she doesn't know Jesus, and she's not a Christian. Is it wrong? No. But what was wrong was about the Holy Spirit. He can do what he can do. And these ladies started to translate the Bible. And I was teaching them, and this lady was translating to Setswana. After 3 months, when we were translating the Bible to them and teaching them about the gospel, this lady said to me one day after the service, 11 a.m. there, I was under that tree at the back of the church, and she told me, "Pastor, I have 3 questions for you." I said, "Okay, what is the 3 questions?" She said, "The first one is, I'm teaching the Bible, I'm teaching the gospel to our people here, and I would like to know, how can I just accept Jesus in my heart?" And we prayed together, and that lady, I said, "Oh, it's so simple. Let's do like this," and we prayed, and she gave her life to Jesus. And she was going back home, and the next Sunday, when she came back, she said, "Last week, I was going back home, walking the village to my place, and I was thinking about the words, I was thinking about what you said, I was thinking about the prayer. And also, I was thinking that if I'm really a Christian, I have to be baptized. How can I be baptized?" And we start to think about her baptism. He is Hamadila, to be baptized. And this is a pastor who was visiting us from Brazil. And I asked him to baptize this lady, Hamadila. And you can see she is so tall. And we didn't have water. We brought water from 20 kilometers to put it here. And tied it up. And the water is still... What? And this pastor was about to baptize her, and he told me like this, "Fabiano, how will you baptize her? She cannot lay into the water. I cannot put her into the water." I said, "Well, it's simple. Sink her immediately, because the water is just leaking." And he baptized Hamadila, and she came out of this box, and I was taking this photo, this corner here, and she put the finger to me and said, "Pastor, I have the 3rd question now." And I said, "What is the question?" And she said to me like this, "I want to be the pastor of this church. How can I be a pastor here? A leader in this church?" And my mind was, whoa, oh, oh. And we start to think about leadership course and training. And Hamadila was there, and she was being trained. And after 8 months of this church, we left this church there. And you know who was the leader and the pastor of this church? She is here. Hamadila is the leader of that church. After 5 years, when we went back to that same church, we heard that Hamadila was in a car going from her home to the church, and the car just had an accident, and Hamadila passed away. And this is our reality. We have to find new leaders now. Well, let's move here. We arrived in Sabina, 7 kilometers away from our home. Now a little bit on the north of Botswana, with the same idea. And when we arrived in Sabina, we saw this church. And this was a church in Sabina, at least bigger than that, the first one. And no leaders. And we start to find leaders, and this man came to us. He is Logan. Today he's the pastor of that church. And he starts to walk along with us. And we start to disciple him. We start to mentor him. We start to put in his heart the desire to be a leader in the church. And when what we started there, Logan was just observing and doing all the things. Baptisms, we had a lot of baptisms. We planted also a church in Sabina. And these are the children's church under the trees. And we used to move the material from one place to another place. And Patricia is teaching the children here. And this one is the church building. They asked us, "We need to build a place for the children. We have a lot of children, and we don't have a place for the children." So they asked us to bring money from Brazil to build the church. And we said, "No, we're not going to give you money. We're going to build the church without the money." And they said, "How are you going to do that?" I said, "God will provide everything that we need." And, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 is saying that the faith is what? You know what The faith is those things that we cannot see. We have faith in our eyes. And I said to them, okay, 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, bring the spades, and we start to open the foundation. And they, pastor, how are you going to do that? We don't have money to build the church. I said, yes, we're going to build the foundation. And we started to open the foundation. The woman, the men, the children, the youth, they came to open the foundation without money and without anything. So the next week, 5 o'clock in the morning, I challenged them on Sunday in the church. I said, tomorrow is Monday. I want to challenge you to come, everyone, here tomorrow morning for us to start the building. And they said, how? I said, wow, we're going to see what the Lord is going to do. And we start to take the car. That's our pickup there. And we found a place. Botswana is a lot of places, a lot of rivers, but there is no water in the rivers because it's so dry. But the sand is there. And we took the pickup, we went to the river, and they said, pastor, we have sand. I said, yes, free sand. I told you that the Lord will provide the things. So we load the car, and we went to the church and unload the car there, and now we have sand. And the next Sunday at the church, they asked me like this, pastor, tomorrow we're going to be here again? I said, well, I don't know. Who wants to be? Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to provide now the stones. And they said, what are we going to do? I said, let's go and get stones. And they went to the top of the hill. And on the top of the hill, they are picking the stones now. And now we have stones free. And they said, now we have the foundation open. We have the sand. We have the stones. And we have the people. So we need the cement now to start. And the cement was a donation from Brazil, of course. There is no cement for free. And we start to build the church and make the bricks. And they are making the bricks themselves. And we are building the place for that church. And this is the place that we are so far. And we start with the home groups. Do you know home groups, right? Connected groups, cell groups. Small groups, whatever group it is, we start to develop these kind of things because it is to grow as a church and multiply as a church. And we start here like this. That's the home groups that we start under the trees in the open spaces, and they are there. And this is the first home group in Sabina that we started. And we started, this is a multiplication of leaders. We start to bring all the people and training them to be leaders, training them to manage the church and lead the church. And here is the first training. And we start also the Soccer Academy Center. That is a soccer school. I was a professional soccer player in Brazil. And when I arrived in Botswana, I said, what am I going to do with this soccer? I'm going to teach them. And we had all the materials in terms of how to teach soccer, the gospel throughout the soccer. And we did it. And what was happening was, we didn't know what God was about to do. And the people start to come. The youth start to come. And people start to come. And FIFA leaders start to come to Sabina to see the work. Because in few weeks, in few months, we had 150 players there. And we start to preach the gospel. We start to get involved with the community. We start to participate in the championship. And they start to behave. Here is Logan. Logan is the leader of the church that we were training him to be the pastor of that church. And he is the baptism of Balisi. And Logan was there also with me. And this is the church that we left in Sabina after almost 1 year of work. And he is the pastor. The pastor of this church is Logan, that youth man. We moved. This is the registration of the academy. And we moved to the north of Botswana. To Tsetsebe. And if you read the book, GC3 missionaries, you find one missionary that was working in this village in Tsetsebe. We moved to this church. When we arrived here in this church, it was another reality, and we didn't find a bunch of leaders there, and we start the home groups and training them, and we start training leadership also at this church. The same picture, children's church, and These are the church, the way that we found it when we arrived there, and we start also to build the church in Sabin, in Tsetsebi, and these are the leaders in Tsetsebi after about a year of training. We arrived in Hansi, in the middle of the desert of Kalahari. Did you watch the movie God Must Be Crazy? Yes? Did you see that? Those people speaking like here is the place of those people. And we found these people there. And when I arrived there in Hansi, we found the people, the Herero people, and we found the Basarwa people as well. This is the Herero. And they used to have this dressing, this kind of clothes. And we start to talk and to training the leaders about Basara people. And also we start to teach them how to lead and manage the church. And the funny part of this training here was about translation. Because we are speaking in English, talking in English, and you had someone to translate to Setswana, and someone to translate to Herero language, and another one to translate to Basara language. Can you see how it's going to be? That's why the service there starts 10 a.m. and finishes 5 p.m. And you need to be prepared, otherwise you're going to leave the church. And when I arrived there, I found a missionary with 75 years old, and he was translating the Bible from Bible Weekly Translation, and he was translating the Bible into these languages, and he was there 25 years translating the Bible into the language of this people. And we planted this church there, and we moved from there to Letakane. Letakane is a little bit north close to the desert as well. But the funny part when we arrived in Letakane was this was the church building, and we found two teenagers inside there. And when I get in, I saw the teenagers reading Psalm 91. And I was saying, well, let's participate in the service. I sit on the ground, and we start to see what they were doing. And they were reading Psalm 91. When they finished Psalm 91, one of the teenagers said, okay, let's pray. And we prayed, and another teenager said, okay, see you next Sunday. I said, well, this is the service. This is the way that they are doing it. So we start to pray and find and look for leaders. And again, the same strategies. And here is the church in Letakane and Orapa. This is the first leadership training that we started there. Letakane is a village. Orapa is a village in Botswana that is fortified village. Have you seen that before? Have you heard that before? You know what is a fortified city? Yes? A place completely surrounded by walls. And the question was why it was like that. And when you get inside of Orapa village, you're going to see a first world. You're going to say, wow, this is not Africa. Because Orapa is the place where the diamonds are. And the foreigners and the people who want to work there, they have everything that they can in the middle of the desert, because they need to work. And I think recently the biggest diamond in the world was found in this place. Let's move. We started to plant a new church in Francistown. Francistown was a strategic place to plant a new church because we are close to the border of Zimbabwe, and we are close to the border of Zambia, and we also are close to the border of South Africa. And we start to plant a new church there, a church which could be a model church for the rest of the country. A church which could raise leaders to spread out throughout the country. Do you remember what Paul was doing in the book of Acts? He was visiting the church and training the leaders, reviving the leaders, and church under the tree, and those two leaders, they came to us, and pastoral care, pastoral mentorship, we start. This is Logan. Why Logan is here? Because we are planting a new church. Remember, we planted the church in Sabina where he was the leader. He's the pastor today. When you came to plant a new church in another place, Logan, come and follow us because we need to learn and to see how we plant churches. Because we want to multiply the process. Let's move here. Francis Tau, we had 4 home groups and the first leadership training happening here in Francis Tau. And we are now close to the border of Zimbabwe, and we start to plant a church in Zimbabwe as well. Just 70 kilometers from Francis Tau to the border, we start a new church there, and the church was started with a Bible translation project. When we arrived in Francis Tau, in Blantyre, in this place, we found a group of women there, and they didn't have Bible. And we start to do visitation, and they said, we'd like to have Bibles. And we could buy Bibles from Bible Society and get the Bible. But the question was, they don't know, you know, one Bible is $16. $16 for them is a lot of money. They don't have money to buy Bibles. And sometimes when you hand them the Bible, they get the Bible and sell the Bible in the market and make the money. So we are saying, no, we are not going to give you the Bible. We are going to help you to write the Bible. So we develop a system, very simple, that we are going to give you the Bible and we're going to start to copy the Bible. We're going to copy the New Testament. We're going to copy the Old Testament. So these are the people, they are copying and reading the Bible. We came inside their homes and we are reading the Bible together. We are teaching them the Bible. If they are copying Genesis 1, we are reading Genesis 1 and we are teaching Genesis 1. The next week they are copying Genesis 2. And this goes and goes like that. So these are the people copying the Bible, the first copy, version of the copying of the Bible here. And they are literally copying. We are giving them a pen or a pencil and a notebook. And they are copying the Bible, literally, word by word. And he is. They are copying Genesis 1, Ukulungeli, Unkugulu, Wandala, Zulu, Lombala. This is Genesis 1:1. The system was so easy. What we are doing, we are saying, you are going to copy the Bible, Genesis 1:1. Okay? When you finish your copy, Genesis 1:1, you pass on to the next person, Genesis 1:1 that you copied, and you start to copy Genesis 2. And when you finish Genesis 2, you pass to that one, Genesis 2. That one, you pass Genesis 1 to another one. And the Bible was spread like this. And people start to copy the Bible like that. And that is the first movement of leaders to copy the Bible, the whole Bible. And we had 45 people copying the Bible in that village. That one was a startup process in our mind. Remember the guy from the Wycliffe translation in the middle of the desert? Remember? Now we are thinking about to start the Bible translation in an official way. Let's move here. And we were associated with Wycliffe Associates. That's different of Bible, Wycliffe Bible translation. Almost the same, but a little different in terms of processing of Bible copying. And here are the process of doing that. And God gave us a project of Bible translation for Southern Africa countries. And we started to invite people from all over the countries, and finally there's all over the countries to copy the Bible in different languages. In 2 weeks of time, we are starting the Gospel of Mark. And also here in India, they came from India, 35% of the New Testament they started because we have so many Indians there. And we start in Lusaka and in Zambia, 26%, 74% in 2 weeks, another languages of Bible translation. That was the group of attendants and helpers who came to translate the Bible with us. And he is our target in the south of the Africa countries. Only in Botswana where we were, We have 35 dialects in Botswana and 108 dialects and languages out here. And this is what we started in November 2016 to do this Bible translation to all of these Southern Africa countries. So after 2-3 years there, doing all of these projects, we had 11 home groups. We had a soccer school with 150 players. We had 9 leadership training developed and started. 2 building churches built and 7 churches planted, and 11 languages and dialects started the new translation of the Bible in their language. And that is the percentage and people who were translating the Bible in different languages. And some of the Bibles here is already completely 100% in 30 days. Why Portuguese in a country? Because we had Mozambique. Mozambique speak Portuguese. And we would like to translate also the Bible into their language. And we are today in these countries after 2016. So it started in Botswana, in the north of Botswana, and spread out to the countries in Southern Africa. And the question that I have for you today, this morning, is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we had it yesterday, and I would like to ask you to open your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Someone can help us and read it for us with a very good voice. Who has a beautiful, strong voice? A Christian. Please. Only one. Yes, stop there, thank you. Yes, stop. Stop. You are chosen people. Yeah, number one, number two. Keep moving, go.
Holy nation. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of Him.
Wow, what's the purpose? May declare what?
Your culture out of darkness.
Called you from the darkness to?
This is a wonderful life.
Wonderful life, yes. And my question is, what do you have to offer to God? Is mission complicated? Very simple, isn't it? So if we are a holy nation, who chose us? Who have chosen us? God. God is the one who chose us, right? God is the one who chosen us to, from the darkness to the light. To do what? What's the purpose there? Share His wonderful, what? Message, His wonderful love, His wonderful hope. When I was in Botswana, I was just thinking, not to us, but to you, your glory, because of your faithfulness and because of your love. What do we have to offer? What do you have to offer in this city? What do we have to offer? What do we have in our hands to help to help those things that God made with you, brought you from the darkness to the light, to His glory? You don't need to go to Botswana. We don't need to go to another country. The point is, what I have in my hands to offer Him, because it's just because of His love and His faithfulness. And that's why I'm here. And mission is so simple. It's local mission, it's regional mission, it's international mission. What do we have in our hands to offer? No matter your age, 10 years, you see teenagers, you see old people, they are doing what they are doing because of His love and because of His faithfulness. Let's pray. Let me pray. I would like to encourage you to ask God, what I have to offer, show me. No matter my age,
no matter my home country, no matter what I have, what I want to know is how can I offer what I have? Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for this wonderful day.
We praise you because you called us from the darkness to the light. You called us to your wonderful and marvelous life and project. We'd like to understand from the Holy Spirit, who is dwelling inside of us, what we have to offer, what we know, and how we can do things to glorify your name. How can we be the person to bring glory to you? As the psalmist saying that not to me, not to us, no glory to us, but to you, to your name. Help us to understand that it's all because of your love, your faithfulness to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I hope that you could speak something from my broken English. Have a blessed day in the name of Jesus.